now take you to the Saturday special with your very special host, Michael Zwirling.
A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KFCO Radio.
Well, thank you for the kind words, Aaron. Nice to hear you today. Welcome to hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special with MZ. It's my understanding that the promo for our program has upset some people. I'm going to hear it, I guess, after this opening here. And so I don't know what's going to happen during the next 2 hours, but stay tuned. We'll all find out.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Ah, the pleasures of summer camp, swimming, canoeing, arts and crafts, riding horses and roasting marshmallows, and never once being asked to thank God for it. Is it possible for a kid's summer camp like this to exist smack dab in the middle of the Bible Belt? The answer is yes. And it's called Camp Quest, the first residential summer camp in the history of the United States for the children of the godless. Tune in this Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Saturday Special with your host, MZ, and meet the director of Camp Quest, Edwin Kagan. He's a lawyer, poet, erstwhile political candidate, and the director of the Free Inquiry Group of Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky. That's this Saturday on the Saturday Special from 10 a.m. to noon with your host, MZ, on your preaching from the Pious Pulpit Radio Station.
AM 1080 and AM 1340, KSCO.
I have sinned against you.
Well, Aaron, are you familiar with how many complaints we got from? I thought that was an excellent promo.
I thought it was pretty funny. Do you know who that was?
No. Oh, it was Sam Quentin, our sort of new guy there, right?
Sam's awesome.
Yeah, I guess he's pretty talented. Well, that's good. So, do we have our guest today? And do we have our crossfire music?
Well, I got the crossfire.
Oh, okay.
No, but
we don't have a guest?
No, Edwin Kagan.
Oh, my gosh. Well, let's see. I guess you can punch up line six and try to call him to remind him. And maybe he got cold feet, and maybe he figured that this was not the program for him to participate in.
I don't know.
But you can try that. And while you're playing the crossfire music and me talking over it, we can maybe sort of come up with something else to do today in case we don't connect with Mr. Kagan. What do you think?
Sounds good.
Okay. It's there somewhere.
It's just not playing.
Ah, there it is. Oh, good. All righty. Welcome to hour number one of what was going to be a controversial program. Something tells me it ain't going to happen, so we might be thrown into having to talk about news talk. But, you know, that doesn't happen all that much on AM 1080 KSCO. So it's probably a good omen in case we don't get Edwin Kagan on for some reason. I had a funny feeling this would happen because it had not been confirmed in person as lately as yesterday. So, oh well. So I want to know how many of you out there have seen the Fahrenheit 9/11 motion picture from Michael Moore. I saw it yesterday in Reno. It's my understanding that you can't get tickets, for the next 6 months. I mean, I had to go that far in order to be able to get tickets, and it wasn't real easy. I had to tell them who I was in Reno, and they said, well, in that case, yeah, sure. Here's a couple of tickets for you and your friend here. Went in and saw it, and I'll tell you all about it here. But, Aaron, any luck on getting connected with our guest here? Because if not, I guess we'll just sort of launch into that, and I'll give you my opinion for what it's worth.
Well, I was just dialing, and we are already getting callers. So.
Already getting callers?
Yeah, we have Ed Naptos with an idea, so he's hanging on the line.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, let me just tell you what my feelings were. Here's what I want to do. I want to take Ed's phone call, but what I'd like to do first is invite anybody who saw the picture to call in first. Just to give us your impression, okay? And I'm almost hoping that someone would, at least two or three people will call in who have seen the show and give us their impression before I give mine. But if that doesn't happen, because it's quite possible that not much of our KSCO listening audience even bothered to go see the program because of its fictional nature. I mean, that's possible. Personally, I thought that it was very, very, very entertaining. And the theater was full up here in Reno. I thought it was just fascinating to see how everybody in the, I think I was the only open-minded person from the other side, as it were. And I went there just to have an open mind and enjoy the movie. And it was a very enjoyable movie, I've got to say. Now, whether or not it's accurate, I don't know, I think it's probably 40 or 50% fictional, but I don't know. It doesn't really matter. I mean, you go to a movie, I think, to be entertained, and I was definitely entertained yesterday. So, I don't know. Well, give us a call, 479-1080 or 477-1340. I'd really like to get into the nuts and bolts of this particular program. I know other radio stations, talk shows have been, you know, talking about this ad nauseum. But damn it, it's sort of a fun thing, and I really want to get into it in detail today. So in a way, I don't even mind that our guest didn't show. So let's see here. Let me get on. Oh, by the way, if you want to give us a, if you want to send an email, you can send it to mz@ksco.com, and I will pick it up here because I've got a computer connected to the internet and. It monitors what's going on here. But, okay, if we don't have any callers who have seen the program, and it's too bad because there's got to be some KSCO people who have seen Fahrenheit 9/11. But let's bring in our first caller, Ed in Aptos, anyhow, see what he has to say. Apparently he's got a program idea. Ed, you're on the air on AM 1080 KSCO with MZ and yeah. Aaron.
Hello.
Hey there.
Good morning.
Hey,
do I take it from your that you're in Reno as we speak?
Well, I'm actually in North Lake Tahoe.
Okay,
it's a hop, skip, and a jump over the hill here.
Yes. Anyhow, my suggestion would be kind of have it people call in and see what kind of topics they want to talk about. It might be a little bit premature for 9/11 since it only opened in Santa Cruz yesterday, and I went and bought tickets, but it was sold out for Friday. I'm going to see it tonight.
Oh, Ed, it's one of the best pictures I've ever seen.
Well,
I'm not saying that tongue in cheek. I'm saying it from an entertainment perspective.
Yeah,
That's all I expected. I wanted to see if it would be a picture that would put me to sleep. Now, there's something wrong with my brains. When I go to a flick, I usually fall asleep for the first 15 or 20 minutes, just no matter what. And I don't know why, unless it is
a dark room in a soft seat, right?
Maybe that's it.
Sit through a lecture once they turned off the lights if it was, you know, showing the movies. Same thing. I was guaranteed I'd go to sleep, even if I was halfway interested in the topic. Be that as it may, I was thinking, it sounds like it might be, the liberals' answer to Rush Limbaugh, since I think he's pretty loose with the truth, and as the opposite side from what criticism I've heard from the other side saying that, it's not all truthful and everything.
Well, Moore hit a grand slam home run because, every lefty in the country is gonna just fall all over her or himself to go see this flick, and they're going to be making their snide comments. Every time Bush comes on the screen, it was actually funny to watch. The lady who was with me I think if she could be anywhere near George Bush, she would kill him dead. She hates him so much. I mean, And yeah. every time he came on, she would make some snide comment loudly, and I would say, "Hey, look, you know, I know how you feel, but just I want to be able to hear the movie, you know."
Yeah.
Everybody else in the theater, I don't think there was an empty seat.
I heard that.
The theater was sort of chuckling, but this person is just really emotional.
I heard a...
Why can't people just enjoy themselves and have a good time at the movie?
Exactly. But I would think from maybe the sales of it, at least the advance sales, that maybe there's some other than just the left that are going to see the movie. There's the curious middle maybe might be attending as well.
I don't understand why the extreme right doesn't go, just to see.
That would be a criticism of mine is that I don't, why I'm not making very many comments, just, you know, hearsay from various things that, you know, I've talked about it, that you really can't criticize until you've seen it. You know, just listening to things. Now,
even then you can't criticize.
Well, yesterday I heard
if it's full of fiction and not fact or half and half or whatever, so what?
Yeah.
So what?
Well, I heard a review. It was on NPR yesterday, and it was from a guy that writes for Slate, and it was it wasn't a favorable. I would say it was, you know, he had parts of it good, and I think his overall thing was that, you know, you should go see it. But he did bring out the warts of what he felt were the warts of the production or the movie, and, you know, from I can't speak to it since I haven't seen it. So, but maybe next week we could you could get somebody from the left and right that have seen the movie, and then see what their what their views are on the movie, and it'd be interesting to see how your background colors your perception of the movie.
Sure.
Because some of the other things, I don't know what local hot topics are going on right now, but I think maybe this is the thing. I think that, you know, from the movie, maybe people would look at particularly is the scene from the school in Florida when Bush sat there for, I guess it was 7 minutes after he'd heard that the second building had been hit. And it's kind of, I heard an interesting thing this morning, you know, kind of going back with Bush, that it was I guess it was on NPR again, that they were comparing Bush's public speaking ability from when he ran for governor and what he's doing now. And I mean, it was almost like night and day listening to the two things about, they were showing his one of his recent news conference when the guy asked him about what was his biggest failing or regret after 9/11, and then he says, "I wish you would have given me this as a written so I could have prepared," and then he launches into his answer, which was pretty poor. And yet the previous one, when he was in running for governor, it was, you know, somebody asked him a question, and you know, I said, you know, it was almost like night and day, and I was just dumbfounded. I all I know is the Bush I've seen as president, and I said, gee, I wish this guy was our president and not the one we have now. Well, I didn't.
Who? Which guy?
Well, you know, when he ran for governor of Texas.
Oh, I see.
And
really?
I mean, well, if I have to have a Bush, you know, that's the one. I really wouldn't, you know, don't want to have a Bush, but and so it's very.
And don't you think after 9/11? Don't you think he was pretty decisive and made the country feel comfortable?
I don't think he was decisive at all. You mean?
It seems to me that when Bush started losing, if you
look at that thing, you know, how much of it is him and how much of it is his handlers? I mean, you don't know what's going on behind the scene. You have all these pronouncements and whatnot. So I would have to say that maybe what we see on the screen there for that first 7 minutes is the real Bush, and he was not decisive. So, you know, 7 minutes after, I mean, you get peed or something, or anyhow, you just wonder what's going on for 7 minutes after. And even after he's heard that the first building has been, he goes in and goes to the, you know, to the school and everything. You have to wonder, you know, what's going on there.
Ed, what's your show idea? It says you.
It was kind of borrowing. It was just doing the borrowing from some other thing where you just kind of ask people to make suggestions and then.
The radio station?
No. About
good.
Topics.
I don't really know where that.
Topics,
sick of that.
Topics and something. Just topics to have, and then you have people vote on which topic they'd like to talk to, and then you run with that for the day.
Oh.
You do the first 15 minutes, something like that. You don't have to do that today, but sometime when you're out of altitude and airspeed at the same time, you can do that.
Ed, thanks for your call to the Saturday special.
Okay, take care.
You too. It is 24 minutes past 10 a.m. I guess there isn't anybody in the KSCO listening audience who has seen the program, or who's seen the Fahrenheit 9/11. I don't think, because if they would, if there had, they probably would have called by now. But in case you're just tuning in, it's a Saturday special. It's open mic. We have a no-show guest who was going to talk about a godless summer camp, but that guest did not show. So it's you and me, gang, and our good friend Erin at the she's the pilot in control, pilot in command, as it were, at KSCO Studios. And you can give us a call at 479-1080 or 477-1340. You can fax us at 475-2967, or you can email us at mz@ksco.com. My computer screen, Erin, is changing dramatically every second here because we're somehow out of the chat room. But now here we go. Now we're back in the chat room, so this is good. Erin, you were telling me before we went on the air that you purchased the Michael Moore's last popular motion picture, Bowling for Columbine.
Yeah, I bought it after I rented it. I thought it was good. You know, I've got people calling in though.
You do?
Yeah, you want to wait? I don't buy into the whole thing, but
you
I
don't
thought
buy
it was.
Into what?
I don't buy into his whole shtick. You know, just everything he says and all that stuff. But
you mean his politics? Does that mean that you don't?
Yeah.
You're more of a conservative person.
I'm figuring it out right now.
Uh-huh.
You know, I didn't pay very close attention to anything in high school, and I really, really wish that I had, you know, paid attention in history class a little bit better. You know, and stuff. So I'm like, over the last few years since I've worked here, I've really, you know, started reading newspapers a lot more and reading online things and just trying to figure out what's what.
Huh. Yeah, I'm sort of like that, too. I wish I would have paid more attention to history. So, but in any case, I like to have an open mind, and I wish more people would have open minds and not proclaim themselves, you know, lefties or righties or whatever. We've talked about that before, labels, but a lot of people do enjoy and swear by labels. Golly gee, who should be our next caller here on the Saturday special?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
Because there's only one.
Because I don't see anything on my screen. For some reason, all I see is Ed. So you say there are other callers.
Can you see? Right? I didn't. There's one more. It's Pat. Oh, we got another call. I've got lines ringing off the hook. Just a sec.
All righty. Well, we can take Pat and Aptos on line two. I think that's, yeah, let's do that. And welcome Pat and Aptos to the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO. Are you there, Pat?
I'm here.
Hey, Pat, how you doing?
Hi, I'm going to go see it tonight. But last night, I was talking with people who saw it, and they had just come from seeing it.
Uh-huh.
And two of them were grown men, as we say, who both said they cried and admitted it. And one of them I asked why, you know, and he said it was because of his military background. Now, we have to admit, these are liberals, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But they both said it was so powerful they cried.
Well, I do think. Listen, he gets an A. He gets an A. Moore gets an A. I don't care for his politics really personally, but he gets an A for this picture. Whether or not the picture is X percent fact and X percent fiction. It's a good, entertaining, powerful, emotional flick.
You saw it, right?
Yeah, I saw it yesterday, and I got pretty close at one point to, you know, tearing up myself, you know, and but see, I'm not well read and well versed enough, unfortunately, and probably even if I was to be able to know what is fact and what is fiction. All I know is that the movie was entertaining and I enjoyed it.
Am I going to be able to handle it as a mother?
Sure. Yeah, you'll get emotional. You will definitely you'll definitely well up and tear up, for sure.
I'm sure I will.
When there's a part about, someone who, a mother who lost her son, who had written a letter, 5 or 6 days before, he was to be, returning to the U.S., saying that, I don't even know why we're here. I mean, this is, and then the next phone call she gets is that this is the U.S. Department of Defense, and we are sorry to report to you that da 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 da. And there's several scenes right after that that are just very, very, very powerful. So anybody can do a movie that can jerk emotions from you. I mean, look at Private Ryan. I mean, anybody who saw that was a very emotional film.
Yeah.
So, in any case, I really don't think that it's going to have any kind of an effect at all in the outcome of the election, which is what the left wing hopes, that it will help the Kerry campaign. I really don't think, because I think everybody's mind is pretty much made up, you know.
Well, but I think just what's going on in Iraq itself is going to have an outcome on the election. And we don't know.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe by the time of the November election, for whatever reason, people who were very much in favor of our presence in Iraq might have changed their mind. But I don't think this movie would have really made the difference. I could be wrong, obviously.
Well,
I would like to hear from people who have actually seen it. And I realize that it's only been one day, and that it's been released in the Santa Cruz area. Same here. But it was very, very difficult to get advance tickets, or impossible, I guess, you know. So like to hear from those who have. Anything else, Pat, before we move on?
No, I just, that was it, and I hadn't talked to you in a long time.
Okay. Appreciate your call.
Okay.
Thank you. Appreciate it. That was Pat and Aptos. Our next caller will be Tony in Live Oak. He's on line one, or he or she. I think it's he. Tony in Live Oak, welcome to the KSCO Saturday Special at 10:30 a.m.
Hello.
Are you there, Tony?
Yes, I'm here. I saw the movie yesterday.
Tell me what you think.
Well, I personally find Michael Moore kind of irritating, but I enjoyed the movie. I felt that in the pantheon of movies about this subject, it was kind of long on editorial and kind of not as heavy on just factual information. I thought that 9/11 Road to Tyranny was a lot more informative about what actually happened, but it was very enjoyable, and I thought the part where the mother, who was very gung-ho about the war and about, you know, people joining the army as a way to get out of economic poverty, and then, you know, when she got the bad news about her own family and changed her mind, and then when she's in Washington trying to deal with these emotions that are coming up in her, then someone who reminded me a lot of how she was in the first part of the movie comes up and accuses her of being a staged event.
Right.
That I thought that was very powerful, because it spoke a lot to some of the dynamics of where the debate has fallen to in this country, of how people, you know, the first reaction for a lot of people on the left or the right is to start accusing the other side of all this mendacity, and, you know, not to try to find the common ground of you know, objectively asking the hard questions about, you know, why are we there and how did we get there and, you know, what does it mean, you know, and that seemed like it actually had some potential to maybe create some, you know, actual thought, and maybe not debate as much as just coming together of the mind.
And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it will have an effect on the election. I don't think it will. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it'll have an effect on the election. I think that people are in this amazing society that where they can find all this information. People tend to seek out information that confirms what they already believe. And in this movie, I don't think it'll necessarily change a lot of people's minds, because, say, people are already really good at filtering out what disagrees with their views, you know. And I think it could. I mean, if you were on the fence, but I think that it's kind of playing with fire because his filmmaking style, while it's very entertaining, he kind of has that tendency to try to tell you, kind of like be cutesy about it and make it like, oh, you'd be an idiot not to agree with this, and then he throws it out there in this way that if you're a little more sophisticated about it, about debate, and that actually kind of puts you off a little bit, you know.
Yeah. Hey, do you have a political perspective that you will own up to?
Absolutely. I don't know about what. I mean, about the war?
About politics in general. Talking about I don't like labels, and here I'm asking you to label.
I don't know. It seems to me that a lot of these labels, they really just serve to kind of put people in little boxes so that, you know, they can say, well, if you like this, then you must like that. You know, if you support the president, then that must mean you're in favor of the war, or vice versa. Or if you don't like the war, that must mean you're a liberal. Or, you know, as far as my own beliefs, I kind of have the feeling that, I mean, here's an example. You know, 6 billion people on the planet, and the two that we are given to choose between, John Kerry and George Bush, are both skull and bones within 2 years of each other. You know, I mean, that's the kind of coincidence that you couldn't write in a Hollywood movie because people would say it was way too outlandish. But yet, here we are. You know, they both got pole position. You know, and nobody's even really discussing it. That, to me, is indicative of a very deep systemic problem that goes way beyond reelecting the president or reelecting his, you know, admitted war criminal rival. You know, I mean, there's not... You know, you're talking about, like, you know, the old Tweedledum.
Do you tend to have, I guess what I'm asking you, I guess what I'm asking is, do you tend to have conservative views on things?
Well, I always considered myself a Santa Cruz leftist, but actually I find that true conservatism actually is a more appealing thing because, I mean, you know, I'd like to conserve the Constitution, I'd like to conserve the environment, I'd like to conserve my fellow citizens, you know, and that way I do feel conservative, but a lot of the neocon type agenda, I find it absolutely repellent.
How old are you?
I don't know how that makes me fit in. I consider myself conservative, but when I hear, you know, guys like Rush Limbaugh or Michael Savage, it just makes me want to throw my radio through the window.
So you don't listen to them?
I do, but only for as long as I can stand it.
How old are you?
I'm 34.
Uh-huh. Do you find that your politics have changed as you've aged?
Well, I don't know if my perspective has changed a little bit. I find that I think a lot of the pop culture type stuff has even less influence on me now than it did before, and I've never been the kind of person that was very trendy. But politically, I can say I just feel like it saddens me when I look at the cheap, kind of coarse, vindictive name-calling that passes for debate. That saddens me because there's not, you know, I mean... Even if you look at it through history and in World War II and before, and like when people would disagree and they'd be like, you know, throwing, they'd be ready to duel in the Congress and everything, but yet there was still standards of intellectual honesty and debate that they could count on, and they could know that, you know, their opponent is going to read up on the facts and present their side, and, you know, it's not, people, I get very discouraged when I see people on both sides so ready and so willing to not only vilify the other side, but conveniently ignore any facts that don't support their view, and it's a little strange.
The person I went to view this movie with told me that the White House has done everything it can to keep people from seeing it, and I hadn't heard anything. About
I hadn't
that.
Heard anything you? That the White House. I don't think that's not their style. I mean, the White House, that's small potatoes. I mean, those guys are big time. I mean, they might be dishonest or they might be, you know, saints. I don't know, But the style, from what I can tell, the style of the White House would not be to try to stop this movie because that would blow up in their face. Their style might be to talk to the people that they know in their socioeconomic circles and you know, maybe, you know, keep the impact from it from affecting their people or, you know, or warning through their radio station, through their shows, to keep people from, you know, kind of insulating, like, well, when you hear this, you know, like, when you see the little man behind the curtain, it's not a little man and it's not a curtain. I'm just warning you now, kind of, you know. Like, they kind of prepare their audience for you know, to not, you know, get too swept up by it or something. But I can't imagine why George Bush would do that. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Why would he do that? He's the president.
I think there's a whole lot of lies going on, but so what? You know?
Well, I mean, I'm no fan of George W. Bush by any measure, shape, or form. But let's, you know, be honest. You know, I mean, the guy, I don't see him doing anything to stop this movie. If he's doing something, it's so subtle and so shades of gray kind of thing that it's not coming out anywhere. So,
okay,
you know.
Now what have you heard about boycotts from the right wing?
Well, I've basically heard Bill O'Reilly and Rush and Michael Savage and those guys basically, like I said, kind of doing the damage control mode, you know, kind of where they kind of tell you, well, when you hear this, think this, you know, kind of like, because I mean,
uh-huh.
I've been familiar with.
But none of them are advocating boycotts.
I don't.
Right?
I didn't hear anything like that, and I don't know. I mean, as far as boycotts goes, it doesn't seem like it would work because people who want to see this movie are going to go see this movie.
Because here's an email I just received from Steve in Watsonville. It says, Dear MZ, what advice do you have for listeners who, A, don't want to boycott the Michael Moore movie and be uninformed, and, B, don't want to buy a ticket and by that action put money into the pocket
of
a grungy propagandist?
Well, Bill O'Reilly called it, and you know, you go to the multiplex and you do the multiplex mambo, you know?
Yeah.
You know, give me two tickets for, you know, saving... You know,
hello?
I mean, for white chicks, you know, and then off you go to Michael Moore's movie, you know. I mean, that's not particularly ethical, but, I mean, imagine it's, I mean, it's, you know, something that nine-year-olds do every day, so it can't be that bad.
Be trained. I think I'm back now. So, yeah, the multiplex mambo, is that what you said?
Yeah, well, I mean, just to you know, borrow a phrase, yeah, I mean, if people really, really, really don't like Michael Moore or his politics or what he stands for, and they don't want him getting any satisfaction out of their involvement, then they should either sneak in, make friends with somebody who works at a movie theater, or just buy a ticket to a different movie and jump over.
Yeah.
How hard is
okay.
that?
All righty. Hey, Tony, thanks for your call to the Saturday special.
Okay. Well, thank you, Michael.
Yeah, take care, and keep listening to KSCO AM 1080. Okay, thanks. Yeah, so let's see. I should finish answering this question that was posed to me. I'm not into boycotts at all. I think for someone to advocate boycotting something, I think is really chicken bleep. I really do. I think people are intelligent enough to make up their own minds whether they want to see a motion picture or read a book or something like that. But to be told to boycott, whether it's by Bill O'Reilly or Michael Savage or Rush Limbaugh or any of the left, I think is equally chicken bleep on both ends here. So, I am not a believer in boycotts. I think people are grown and they can make their own decisions. Don't want to buy a ticket, buy that action, put money into the pocket of a grungy propagandist. Well, I don't know. I think Michael Moore, whether or not he's a grungy propagandist, he made a good movie, and I think if he made a good movie that a lot of people enjoy for whatever reasons, because they like his politics or because they enjoyed the entertainment value or emotional appeal of the movie, and the latter was, you know, applied to me, great, so be it. The guy deserves to get rich, even though he's probably... you know, a low life politically. In fact, I'm not even sure that that's the case. I think that there's a very good chance that Michael Moore doesn't even believe a lot of the stuff that he says, and that he is just a world-class opportunist who, sort of like Bill Clinton, who knows what to say and when to say it in order to garner a whole lot of popularity and a whole lot of people behind him. And the guy is definitely an amazing self-promoter. You got to hand it to him, you know. I'm not even sure he believes all that stuff that he says and makes up. But
that would make sense to me. I mean, the guy's
totally really
ridiculous, but his movies are really entertaining.
I mean, he's probably one of these people who after he's put on a show, you know, and made a speech that make people, you know, think that he's Jesus himself and, oh, for a breath of fresh air to counteract this Bush stuff, that he probably locks the door, moves all the furniture in his house, and starts rolling back and forth on the floor just laughing in hysteria about how he sold a bill of goods to everybody. I mean, I think that's a very, very strong possibility. So let's see. I'm on the email screen right here, so let me switch back to the call screening. Oh, my gosh, we got lots of callers here. Who was on? Terry in Capitola, I guess, should be next on line 3. If we want to bring Terry up. And welcome, Terry, to the Saturday special with MZ and Aaron. Hey, Terry. I don't hear any Terry. What is wrong with Terry? Well, Aaron, help me out here. Where in the world is Terry? Did Terry drop out?
Terry's there. Go ahead, Terry.
Hi, Terry. Terry's not there. I don't hear Terry if Terry's there.
He's there. Now, just a second.
Well, 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 I suppose I could take a snooze.
I just hung up on Terry. Sorry about that.
Okay, so let's see. A caller says the White House is saying that the movie is a campaign commercial. They don't want it aired after the date when third-party campaign commercials aren't allowed. Okay, well, that will be 60 days. No, it's not a commercial. It's a commercial. Commercials are something that are paid for. And this is not being paid for. In fact, it's quite the contrary. You pay for the honor and pleasure of seeing it. It is not a commercial, even though some people say it's a two-hour-plus long commercial. So I don't buy that at all. Let's go to Brian on a cell phone. He's on line one. If you can bring up Brian here on the Saturday special, we will welcome
him. We have Terry now. Can we go to him?
Okay.
Okay.
Hello?
Hey, Terry. Sorry for the snafu here, but you're on the air here on AM 1080 KSU.
It'll be the first time.
Okay.
Hey, I'll try to make this point as succinctly as I can. I have a good friend who's an investigative reporter for the Tucson Daily Star. And like a lot of reporters, he's likes to write on the side. So he wrote a novel, and he sent me a copy of it. He said, what do you think? And I said, because he's really a really good friend, I said, kind of tongue-in-cheek. I said, gee, Ray, it's a great book, but it's a pack of lies. You made it all up, because that's what a novel is.
Yeah.
And that's my problem with Michael Moore and this whole thing, is he blurs the line between reality and a novel. It's one thing for Saving Private Ryan to sit there and say, tell a story about something. You know it's a story. You know it's a script. You know that it's fictional based on fact, and it's one thing to present it that way. But the thing that I have a problem with him is that it's so fundamentally dishonest what he does. I'll give you an example. In the Bowling for Columbine, there's a scene where he walks into a bank, opens an account, walks out with a gun. What they don't say is that it took about 2 weeks worth of intervening time while he had a background check, did his normal waiting period, and came in, and eventually got the gun. And there was this big, huge edit in the middle that basically, as they say, the best lies are baited with the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So the scenes actually happened, but the time frame was so cut out in the editing that it told a message exactly opposite from what's happening. When I was watching the trailers for Fahrenheit 9/11, there's a scene, I believe, if I remember correctly, where Bush is looking at the calendar while he's playing golf. He says, we're going to bomb the hell out of Iraq. He says, now watch this drive. And you couldn't help but notice a very subtle but brief edit.
There was certainly an edit. And it wasn't that, we're not going to bomb the hell out of Iraq. He said terrorism is very bad, and that the world should unite against terrorism.
I may have misremembered.
Now watch this drive.
Exactly.
And of course there was an edit. Of course there was an edit. I mean, it's just really hitting below the belt. I mean, and this is the way a lot of the left operates. But so what? I mean, I think I know what you're saying. When there's something that could be confused for editorial or news, but it's really an ad in a publication, there's supposed to be, I guess, a little thing at the top that says advertisement, or the following is an advertisement. I think that's what's bugging you. Am I right?
Yeah, kind of, sort of. But it goes a little bit beyond that. Is that if you take the import of his film here, he's saying that, boy, the events of 9/11 are terribly important to the country, so important I had to make this movie to tell the facts. And then he takes a serious issue and so shamelessly lies about it in a way to distort the truth that he makes a mockery of the very event itself that he's ostensibly making a quote, documentary. I guess it's now been called a mockumentary because it's not truly a documentary. He does it in documentary style. And that's the real danger of it, is that it's almost like, what's his name, Orson Welles, when he did the War of the Worlds thing.
Uh-huh.
If you do something in such a real style, you can actually cause panic amongst people in that particular case. That was a radio event. You probably are very, it's one of the high points of radio and
sure,
low points at
course.
The same time. And so, in essence, that's what the 9/11 movie is doing, is it's essentially baiting, telling a lie and baiting the lie with the truth in a way that it can actually do harm to the country.
Okay.
And I'm not going to go see it.
I agree with you. I agree. You bring a very interesting perspective to the discussion, Terry. I agree with you, actually.
Yeah.
That having been said, what do you think should be done? Do you think Moore should be prevented in any way from doing what he's done? Do you think he should be forced to have some sort of disclaimer on the movie that's not there? What do you think?
No, not really. And you know, you asked the previous caller about his political perspective, and I would define myself, if I could define myself this way, as a libertarian conservative. And because I'm a libertarian primarily, I'm absolutely a free speech advocate, and I think it's fine for him to bring out the movie, and I think it's also fine for people like myself to individually, not as a boycott, to just choose not to give my money to him, A, and B, when I get an opportunity like I do on KSCO to give my point of view so maybe other people will thoughtfully think about this, is that, people sometimes call this, when people's point of views are not given a stage, they say, well, it's a censorship. No, I don't think it's censorship. It's only censorship when the government does it. But I think when...
That's right.
When
you have an understanding of that and other people don't. It reminds me of that. Were you listening to the radio station in 2001 in October, shortly after 9/11, when the ownership of the station made the decision to drop a very, very left-wing and very destructive, in our opinion, talk host from our AM 1340 station, Peter Werby. Do you remember that whole...
Yes, I do.
Yeah. And, you know, it was so ridiculous how he was claiming that we had violated his free speech rights, as if he has the right to have a three-hour, week daily live talk show on a commercial radio station that has no sponsors except the radio station itself. It was just bizarre how people don't seem to get the difference. They don't understand the difference between free speech and censorship. They just don't understand.
The way you counter free speech that you disagree with is with more free speech on the other side.
Bingo.
There you go.
That's great. Terry, thanks for your call to the Saturday special. Keep listening to AM 1080 KSCO, where it is 10 minutes before 11 a.m. I think we've got a commercial break coming up. Then we've got Brian on a cell. Let's see. Maybe we should take Brian now since he's been on a cell so long. What do you think, Aaron? And then go for the commercial break?
Hey, good day, Michael.
Hey, thank you, Terry. Bye-bye.
Hey,
that's actually Brian. He's on.
Oh, that was Brian?
And I still wish you a good day and to your listeners as well. A good day.
Okay.
My profound gratitude to Terry for his insight and his willingness to call the program and share that, because he seemed like a very intelligent, thoughtful caller, and I hope that he will call often.
Part of the problem where we don't get a whole lot of phone calls sometimes is because people don't like to call KSCO unless they're intelligent. And if we
wait a minute. Now, Terry did not call anybody any names, and I respect that about a person.
So do I.
Because it shows that he has more to his opinion than just attacking and abuse.
Exactly.
Those
who are listening who would stoop to those kinds of attack tactics.
Shame on them. Shame on you for letting them do it.
That's right. That's
okay.
Exactly,
well,
right.
Once again, we agree only because I'm right. Because you're right. And
yes.
But Michael, how do you like being on the same side of the promotion of Fahrenheit 9/11 as Hezbollah, because they are also promoting the film? Is that another charitable organization that you'd like to be affiliated with? Because
no, not at all. I'm not really promoting the film. I'm just saying go see it if you want to, and don't go see it if you don't want to.
Oh, yeah. Believe me, I wouldn't go or not go on your say-so. Not that I don't respect you, but I make up my own mind based on what I think I want to spend my money on. And
exactly.
And I work plenty hard for mine, and I'll spend mine elsewhere to be sure. But I just wanted to point out that little interesting... apparently, commonly reported bit of information that Hezbollah is touting the film as a must-see. Line up, everybody.
Gee.
Hey, thanks for your show.
Okay, thank you, Brian. Well, let's go. Let's take that commercial break for 3 or 4 minutes, however long it is, Aaron, and then we will be back with more on the Open Mic KSCO Saturday Special. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Our Gilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both Gilda and I and my son Dino look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
Buying a home around here is an expensive proposition. Hi, I'm Jim Chubb with Pacific Inland. I've been helping people save money on home loans for nearly 20 years, and I'd like to help you save money on your next home purchase. Right now, Pacific Inland has special programs that are helping people save real money when they buy a home. Call Pacific Inland at 831-475-2600, and we'll tailor one of these programs to help you buy a home. That's Pacific Inland at 475-2600, licensed by the California Department of Real Estate.
Thomas Jefferson, Babe Ruth, Martin Luther King, Neil Armstrong, or Aunt Sally. Everyone has a great American hero, and the Capitola Mall and KSCO KOMY want to know about yours. Sharpen your pencil and your wit and write a one-page essay about your American hero. The best essay of the week will receive a Capitola Mall gift certificate and have their essay read live on KSCO's Friday Noon News. Here are the directions. Write a one-page essay on your favorite American hero and turn it in at the guest service booth across from Radio Shack at the Capitola Mall by Thursday afternoon. Be sure and include your name and phone number. You can also download an official essay form by logging on the homepage at ksco.com. Each week, a panel of judges will select a winning entry for the live reading and the gift certificate. Everyone has a great American hero, and the Capitola Mall and KSCO KOMY want to know about yours. Write a one-page essay on your great American hero and turn it in at the guest services booth at Capitola Mall by Thursday afternoon. Be a winner like your hero.
Life is a journey, so take more of them. Did you know you can travel 1,000 miles for less than $250, including room and board? But wait, RVs of Meriden Scotts Valley now has a motorhome that gets 22 miles per gallon. That's right, it's the new MB Cruiser with a Mercedes turbo diesel engine, 5-speed transmission, and it's fully self-contained. You can use it for work, vacation, and get a second home right off, too. The MB Cruiser is only 22 feet long, and it's beautiful. Remember, 15-year motorhome financing is still available with payments less than a new car payment. RVs of Merit has over 4 acres of Winnebagos, Alphaceas, Weekend Warrior, Toy Haulers, Bigfoot, Forest River, National RV, Airbus, and pre-owned motorhomes too. The sooner you have an RV, the longer you can enjoy it. Come to RVs of Merit. Say hi and look over the 2004 closeout models now. While selection is the best, RVs of Merit is open 9 to 6 every day. RVs of Merit on Scotts Valley Drive, just north of Santa Cruz in Scotts Valley.
And now back to the first hour of Saturday Special with your host, MZ.
Okay, apparently, let's see. I haven't given out the phone number for a while, so I will do that right now. It's 479-1080 or 477-1340. Don't have to talk about the Michael Moore movie if you don't want to, but I think it's really fascinating. I think we've only had one caller who's actually seen the flick. And I hope some others will call in because I want to know, I want to particularly hear from people who sort of looked around the theater like people were reacting to the program. I would really like to hear that. So give us a call at 479-1080 or 477-1340. Caller in, Steve and Selena says, Disney is stupid to drop it for a political reason. Is that what happened? I heard that, I heard that they dropped it, but I don't think they gave the reason why they dropped the distribution of the Fahrenheit 9/11. So, here, let's see if we have any emails here. Aaron, I'm not sure that this is up to date here. If we don't have callers, let's see, you say you're going to see that flick tonight, are you? Or is that someone else? Hello? Checking out the email. If you want to email the program, it's mz@ksco.com.
And we do have some callers on the line.
Okay, good. Help me out here. You choose the caller and then just put him on because I'm not seeing it here.
Okay, this is Jonathan in Marina.
Okay. Hey there, Marina. Jonathan, welcome to KSCO, the Saturday special with MZ and Aaron.
I just had a brief comment to make. There was a previous caller I heard who put you in the same category as Hezbollah.
Well, I just said, how do you feel promoting the same movie that Hezbollah is recording, is promoting? And I don't think that's really putting me in the same category, but what do you think, nonetheless, because you did take the trouble to call?
Well, it's just very simple. I just hate to see, there's probably many things that you do that are similar to other people in the United States that you may have nothing else in common with. For instance, you eat, if you choose to recommend the same form of entertainment, that doesn't make you the same kind of person. Anyway, that was just my thought.
Hey, well, I appreciate your making it, and keep listening to KSCO, and hope you'll call again.
All right, thanks. Bye.
It is the Saturday special, and we are, we've got about a minute and a half before the break here. I guess let's go to Gene and Salinas on line two will be our next caller here. Probably take us up to the break. Gene, you're on the KSCO Saturday special.
Hi, Z. Pleasure.
Hey, thanks,
Gene.
Pleasure
to talk to you.
Ditto.
Hey, you got a pretty good program considering what you may have run into before.
Yeah. I had a funny feeling. I wasn't really involved in setting up this guest, but Rosie talked to me a couple of weeks ago about wouldn't this be an interesting subject. I said, yeah, I would tweak a few people, and we always
really
like to
would.
Do that on the Saturday special. But
yeah, listen, but, yeah, the reason I called is at the beginning of the program there was something said about the president being in a grammar school class for about 7 minutes before he did anything or whatever it was.
Yeah, and I don't know whether that's fact or fiction.
I believe that
it's fiction, but I have no proof.
Yeah. Well, the reason I'm calling is, I don't know who, but somebody had the sense to close down all the airports, okay? Immediately.
Uh-huh.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Otherwise, who knows? Who knows what would have else could have been up in the air there?
Sure.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Have you seen the flick? And do you intend to?
I really don't intend to go. I would rather go see Tom Hanks. Okay.
Okay. All righty.
Yeah.
Hey, Gene and Salinas, thanks for calling the KSCO.
Yeah. Good to talk to you, Z.
Special. Ditto.
Bye.
Hey, thanks. Let's take Walt and Aptos real quick. We might have to hold him over. He's on line one.
Hello.
And then we'll take Ben and Salinas after the break. Walt, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Walt, how you
doing?
I got
the other side of the picture last night listening to Bernie Ward.
Yeah?
Oh, it's all made for the Democrats.
Okay.
It's all made for the Democrats.
You mean just to get them to get out and vote, for sure, which they probably would anyhow. I don't think Michael Moore needed to do a movie to get the Democrats out. They hate Bush.
He picked on one thing. He talked about there was some part in that thing where Bush was playing golf.
Hey, you know what? We're going to have to hold you over. I want to hear what you have to say, but we're coming up on the 11 o'clock
okay.
break on KSCO Santa Cruz, KOMY Watsonville. Back in 6 minutes. Stay with us.
From San Jose to Salinas, Red Hot News Talk, AM 1080, KSCO Santa Cruz.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but... I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Well, one thing we could talk about, besides the Michael Moore flick on the hour number two of the Saturday special, is our vice president using the expletive in the Senate. That's cool.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
And I'm happy I got this email from John. I know we've got callers here. We'll be getting to the callers here to talk about whatever they called in about. But I got to read this email here because it made me laugh yesterday when I watched the news about Dick Cheney. Anyhow, this little email reminded me of it. Sir, I took great delight in reading on AOL News that you told Leahy to go bleep himself. How absolutely marvelous. Leahy is a bleep hole. Only Ted Kennedy is as deserving of such gentle attention. You have been hinted at as being rather robotic because of your low-key style. Well, forget that. You made my day. Thank you, John. And I thank John for sending that email to me because we could talk about that. This on the same day that the Senate voted to tremendously increase fines to broadcasters for in the U.S. for indecency or profanity and so forth. Very, very interesting. So it just tickled me to watch. Did anybody see that? I mean, they should. Anyhow, we should go back to our topic here, at least the Michael Moore topic, because a number of people have called in. Before we went to the break, we had Ben and Salinas waiting and Walt in Aptos on the phone. So let's go back to Walt. Hello, Walt.
I didn't see it, but I heard Ward. But one thing he mentioned last night, and I wondered what happened. He said something about Bush was playing golf. And he apparently had made a comment, and then he just reached down and he teed off his ball. Do you know what that was?
No.
Okay. Well, that was a comment. Well, it was all slanted. There's no question about it. It was all made for the Democrats. So yes. I'll let you go.
Are you going to see it?
No, I can't. I'm very disabled. I don't get out of the house much.
What happened to you? You didn't used to be disabled.
No, I know, but I had a bike accident in 93, and I've had three hip surgeries since then. And it's kind of put me under, so anyhow,
oh, geez. Sorry to hear that.
I can't do much, but anyhow, I listen a lot.
Well, hang in there, Walt, okay?
Okay, guy.
You take care. Thanks for calling the Saturday Special. Did we miss Jonathan and Marina, Aaron?
Or no, we got him right before Walt, right before the
Okay, good. News. So I guess, who we have Ben on now?
Yes,
Ben waiting still? Okay, let's bring Ben on and welcome him to the Saturday Special. I haven't heard from Ben in a while.
Hello.
Hey there, Ben.
Hello, Michael. Yeah, thank you for your open airways. And to Gene and Salinas, oh, somebody had the wisdom to shut down the airports. Hey, listen, moron and Salinas. First of all, the F-15s at Andrews Air Force, had they been scrambled after the first hitting, possibly the other loss of life and the other three downed aircraft could have been prevented. Those F-15s could have knocked those birds out of the sky, which is general operating procedures when these airlines, which are tracked. And by the way, Mr. Cheney was in one of his underground Nazi offices monitoring the first incident on a radar screen, and Norm Mineta was in the office with him. So Ben only tells the truth, sir. And as the Republican...
Ben, listen, you are who you are.
Yes, sir.
You do things the way you do things.
Yes, sir.
But don't you think that more people would
what you say
if you weren't so nasty and didn't call names on every
well
you know,
I'm
every
sorry about my expletives, but I have to call even Clinton. He's a jerk, but Michael, let's not be disingenuous here. If by some chance or manner or means that Bill Clinton being serviced by Monica Lewinsky, if there was video of that, this would be mandatory viewing by every Republican in the world. They would stand in line and pay $100 to see that, with ignoring all the death and dying going on in Iraq. And these people are just so wonderful to see these neo-Nazi fascists sending our people to die and draining the national treasury, killing Medicare and robbing Social Security. And what I'm saying is true. And
yeah, but can't you say it without calling names? That's all.
Okay. Well, I do apologize, but sometimes I get carried away with the adjectives. But I'm a colorful musician, and sometimes I have to try to exemplify and make things more colorful to the dumbbells out there that don't understand the depth of the importance. Like when Bush was told that the first plane had hit, he goes back, sits there with a blank stare, deer in the headlights kind of stare, in front of a classroom of children or any other president.
First of all, I'm not sure that that's true, but if it is true, what should he have done?
Well, he should have been scrambled
yes,
to the aircraft.
He
should have been scrambled in there, gotten into the position of national security, see exactly what the hell was going on. Sitting there for 7 minutes, and a blank stare, and then start reading My Buddy the Billy Goat? Come on, Michael Zeep. I mean, you're a man of honor and intellect and great wealth. I mean, show your wisdom, sir. And as far as Cheney,
I am a man of honor.
Yes.
I am a man of semi-intellect, and I am a man of very, very modest wealth.
Yes, and of Cheney using the expletive like that in the Congress, which is banned. I mean, Congress, all of that is videotaped. Where's Michael Powell? He's worried about Janet Jackson's nipple, but a man car was being threatened, and that other guy, the Howard... what's his name? They're being labored over their use of different expletives. And this tin man with a plastic heart, that is President Cheney there, he can use these kind of expletives, and Michael Powell goes to sleep and goes to home to Kenny Bumpy Pork Pudding. I mean, where's the integrity? The Republicans, and I don't advocate for...
Let's see, you have a vision problem, so you're probably not going to go see the flick,
believe me, I'm going to memorize every bit of that, because all I want is for my fellow good Americans, not the neo-Nazis and not the ultra-left-wing people. I'm of neither class. I'm just saying, give me the damn truth. T-R-U-T-H. And please, everybody, go out and buy George Bush's autobiography, which is also being released along with Clinton just released his autobiography, and everybody seems to focus on the Lewinsky matter. But Bush's autobiography is out there now. His mom bought him a new box of crayons, and the first page says, Run, Spot, Run. And on the first page is a picture of a red swastika, and the next one's a green swastika. And at the end, he signs it, J-O-R-G. So please, just put the truth out there. Insist on a paper trail. And also, Mr. Z,
should Michael Moore be required to put the truth out also in his motion pictures?
You know what, sir?
Who's going to require
Moore,
him?
Sir, if Michael Moore, if any of that stuff can be proven not to be true, and to be just propaganda, like we're not getting the truth on the war, sir, if that could prove not to be true, then he should be prosecuted and imprisoned as well. I'm not,
for violating what law?
For not
being truthful.
For not telling the truth. Yeah, isn't that called libel?
Man, you're starting to scare me. He should have a right to be untruthful if he wants to.
Yeah, and you don't need to boycott. The boycott is the brain. You have the right to go see or not to spend your money where
exactly.
You want. I agree with Brian.
Exactly.
Spend your money how you want, you know. And to that, once again, that moron Gene in Salinas.
Try to be nice and not call our people who call our program are not morons.
I'm sorry, sir. That wonderful genius of Salinas.
Once in a while
Gene,
we get one. But.
Okay, now, airports, somebody had the wisdom to shut down the airports. Did this person of intellect forget that the Bin Laden family was the only family allowed to hit the airways that something like several hundred of the Laden family?
I'm not sure that that's not fiction. In fact, I believe it is.
The Laden family was allowed to fly after all the airports were shut down. They were allowed to get out of Dodge. I just can't believe that.
But if it is true, I think that's terrible.
Do you believe that the Laden family is in business in the Carlyle Group, and every time babies die in Iraq and get turned into hamburger, we think beheading is so terrible? What about babies, mothers, and old people being turned into hamburger by our wonderful shock and awe bombs? I mean, dead is dead, sir. The Bush family is absolutely feeding on the bodies of those dead babies and using the national treasury to do it. The truth is the damn truth, sir.
Okay, man, thank you for your call to the
Saturday Special.
Thank you, sir. Let's go on to, someone wants me to reiterate my email address to get on the program. Forget the fax, because it's too hard to get a fax. Faxes are antiquated anyhow. Get with a real program here and... Get into the real world here by not using faxes. Use email. It's mz@ksco.com. You can email me now, and I'll read it if I get it here, and I should get it. You can email me anytime, and I will try to answer it if it's humanly possible. I don't get all that many emails, so I'll probably be able to answer a personal email that's sent to me at mz@ksco.com. I think we have Richard N. Watsonville is our next caller. He's on line one. So let's bring up Richard.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm fine, Richard. How are you today?
Good. I love the sound of Ben on a Saturday morning, don't you?
Well, he certainly is passionate, isn't he?
Extremely passionate. I mean, the man seems to be just reeking with truth. I mean, can anybody call up here and tell me a lie that he said?
Well, I don't know whether it was a lie. It's just like seeing the movie yesterday, Richard. It's difficult for me to believe that it was 100% accurate. It's difficult for me to believe that it was 60% accurate. But
you didn't go to sleep the first 10 minutes.
Actually, I did. but I
still. So you're not giving
us. But when I woke up, I didn't finish that story. Thank you for bringing that up. I was asleep for probably 10 minutes into it, rather, till about 20 minutes into it. And after that, I stayed awake for the whole time, which is pretty good.
What woke you up? When you woke up, what was the first thing you saw?
Oh, jeez. You would ask me that.
Bright lights.
Bright lights is what, yeah, that's what. I can't remember, but I do remember that it was worth seeing, and I don't have a whole lot of retention. I'd probably go back and see it again. I'd like to go with my mother and see if she reacts just the opposite of the way the lady I went with reacted yesterday, because to me it was almost as entertaining to see the reaction of all of the people who were watching as watching the movie itself.
Well, that lady you went with, you said she was the complete opposite of you. Is that the same lady you put on the phone to me that time? And she tore me up.
That's exactly
she's that far
right.
left.
She's vicious.
Yeah, but
my God,
you got some strange friends.
I mean, she's a scary lady, actually. But
that promo.
I'll tell you who it is. Hey, Aaron. Aaron,
yeah.
do you know from the stack of audio there in the computer,
mm-hmm.
we have a disclaimer at the beginning with a nice, sexy voice.
Mm-hmm. That's not mine. I'm just kidding. I've got
She's almost as sexy as your voice. Almost.
This is an old woman, Aaron.
Okay, play it. Can you play it and you'll be...
That's not
No, that's not that one. That's not the one. That's a guy. That's J.J.
This Jeffrey. Lady is the opposite of Jeannie.
Yeah, the views expressed. Can you find that? Because this person that we're talking about has that voice.
The views expressed on the following live program do not necessarily reflect those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comments.
But you better not disagree with that woman, or you're gonna end up probably
hung
headless.
Up on like I did.
Probably headless. So.
She hung up on me, and I was on her side.
I know, and so she would be a great.
Dave Allen told me one time her name was Tiffany or something.
Yeah, well, we used to. If you remember KSCO, you do because you've always listened. Troubles with Tiffany. We had a talk host who did an evening program for, I don't know, a week or so, and it was sort of like an advice thing. And this was back in 1992, I think.
We had a lot of tsunamis. People that would come in and just tsunami the hell out of the airwaves.
Whatever.
You know, like a Bruce in Pacific Grove.
Poor Bruce who passed away.
But, you know, your promo, Brother Love, was that... I mean, I have sinned against you. At the end of that promo, it says, you know, Sam Quinton.
I had nothing to do with that promo. That's something that Rosie and Sam cooked, or Sam actually. Rosie had nothing to do with it.
I'm just wondering if that was something that came from wrestling, because there was a guy that was a preacher that was Brother Love, and he was he had sinned against all these people and stuff. Or, you know, was he talking about Jimmy Swaggart? I mean, who really did get up and say he cheated on his wife or something?
I have sinned. Yeah, I think that was Jimmy Swaggart, or maybe it was that other guy, Jim Baker. I think it was Jimmy Swaggart.
I mean, you know, Lewinsky, she should be glad that she's still even mentioned, and people have not forgotten her name.
That's exactly right. And
Lewinsky's
sure
saying that she's, you know, Clinton's still lying about her, you know.
And I think she's happy that
look at this
who she is.
Yeah, oh yeah. But look at this nutcase Bush, man. I mean, did you hear the top of the news at all? Were you busy?
Did I hear what?
The top of the news.
No, I was in relieving nature's internal pressure.
Okay, you know, George Bush comes out and says, we have bitter differences that the war, in the war is over, the bitter differences. I'm thinking, what, you know, war is a bitter difference, you know? He said that Turkey qualifies for membership in the EU now.
Oh yes.
Who in the hell is?
He encouraged that. I saw that last evening on the TV.
Well, who is he to encourage that?
He's the
We're
president.
Going over
the,
and
he,
telling
he's
Europe
the most,
what to do, Mike.
He's the most powerful man in the free world. That's who he is, Richard.
Well, Europe
like
ain't
it
free.
Or not.
Yeah, but Europe ain't free. And he's over there telling them that they are? I mean, don't
yeah.
we hate those people in Europe?
No. I don't
the
hate
Germans
anybody.
And the French and all that?
Well, I hate people who hate me. That I think that's fair to say.
Well, you're supposed to be in the business to make friends.
Okay.
I think.
All right.
Anyway.
Well, listen, thank you for calling, and let's hear from, let's take our next caller now, who is none other than Westside Al himself on line two. Westside Al, welcome to the Saturday special. Hello?
Hey, are you there, Mike? Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
A little technical glitch there.
We have the finest ones in the industry.
I know. That's one of the reasons I listen.
Good.
Michael, listen, from what I understand, the bin Laden family was flown back to Saudi Arabia, but it was, I think, on the 20th and the 22nd in two separate or maybe three or four flights. There were several hundred of them, and they weren't exclusively the only people on the planes. But as I understand, the reason it took that long is because they had to do background checks on all those people before they let them go.
So that it's deliberate misleading on the part of Mr. Moore.
Well, it's that timeline against the real facts again, like the thing with the golf swing and 7 minutes and all this. The 7 minute delay was between the first hit and the second hit. So, you know.
I'm interested in whether you are going to see the picture.
Nah. Hey, go to Slate Magazine online and read Christopher Hitchens' review of the movie. He's not known to be a right winger. In fact, he's known to be very irritating to right wingers, generally speaking. But he is very erudite and intelligent, and he rips Michael Moore a couple of new ones, at least.
It probably is true that people who enjoy this motion picture, myself included, are probably of weak mind.
Sort of like
people always used to say when we carried Rush Limbaugh that the people who like Rush Limbaugh are weak-minded people and very, very influenceable.
No, it's okay to be entertained by a movie made by anybody.
That's all I was.
On
That's
any
all
subject.
I was.
Think of all the movies that have come out that have tried to present themselves as reflecting reality, but you know they're not. The president's assassination movies. Who the hell knows the truth about this, that, or the other? It's a free license to be creative. But I don't think I'll go see Mr. Moore's film. I'm not interested in how he's.
Well, I know that you have a wonderful sense of humor, Westside Al, and so I think I think you should. I think you would enjoy it. You would find it very humorous and entertaining.
Well, maybe if it comes out on DVD or something, I'll rent it. But hey, Michael, let me just bring up a different subject if you don't mind.
Okay.
Remember last week they had some protests down in Watsonville about the Immigration Service making sweeps and rounding up illegals? Which wasn't really even happening.
Okay.
Were you aware of that?
No, I missed that, but
oh, it
I
was,
believe
it
you.
Was, it was very interesting, Michael. For one thing, the closest INS office is now in Livermore, which is about 100 miles away from Watsonville. They have three agents to cover everything from San Bernardino County north to the Oregon border. I don't think they're going to be fooling around with Watsonville too much, especially since the city councils around here, including Watsonville's and Santa Cruz's, have passed non-cooperation resolutions that forbid our police departments from working with the INS. So I think
is that
INS,
right?
The INS
wow.
probably has other, yes, it's right, Michael. The INS probably has other priorities that are a little bit higher. What they have been doing lately is very high profile in Southern California, rounding up illegal immigrants who have been convicted and then released and who are sex offenders and who haven't re-registered, and they're taking them back to Mexico. And they're making sure everybody knows about it for good reason. Now, the thing that's curious about the Watsonville demonstrations is everybody was so afraid of the Immigration Service, they were staying home. They weren't going to work. They weren't going shopping. They weren't going to school. They weren't going to their health clinic appointments. And the economy of Watsonville damn near collapsed because that's how many illegals there are down there. One guy, a business owner, was quoted as saying, we had our worst day. We only made $100 today. The schools are whining because they're not getting money for their average daily attendance numbers. The healthcare clinic workers are whining because their client base is shrinking, which endangers their government budgets. This is quite a serious problem, more so than I ever thought. If illegal immigrants hiding from the man is going to bring Watsonville's economy and social structure to a screeching halt. Your comments.
My comments?
Yeah.
It's shocking. I mean, what can I say, Al? I wish that there was something that that I could do or that you could do, but it's reality, apparently.
Well, see, what I'm saying, Michael, is reality just got magnified by a factor of 10. I always knew there was a problem with illegal immigration in California, specifically in Watsonville.
So did I.
Specifically in Watsonville. But who would have dreamt that the constituency down there was so preponderantly illegal that they could shut the whole damn town down by staying home, hiding from the INS?
Jeez. Okay. It is. So,
okay, buddy,
so
I'm going to go.
Okay, well, thank you for bringing this up.
Okay.
There goes West Side Al. Here's an email I just received from Charles Carter MZ. I haven't seen Fahrenheit 9/11, waiting for the crowds to thin out. It's worrisome that a movie could have a significant effect on the election. It's just the filmmaker's point of view, as are most documentaries. It would be like having...
Ladies, how would you like to be a member of a family-run business? How would you like to belong to a health club that focuses on you in a warm and friendly atmosphere? Well, I'm Teresa, and I'm the owner of Go Figure Fitness for Women in downtown Santa Cruz. Go Figure is not a franchise or tied into one. We're the small fish in the big sea. Our members are number one to us, and we'll take great care of you. Go Figure is an all-women's health club that focuses on the whole woman, including your nutritional needs. A membership at GoFigure includes one-on-one personal training, weight loss and nutrition counseling, along with the ever-so-popular 30-minute circuit with no hidden fees. GoFigure carries the complete line of the American Longevity products. So come join a club that takes care of the whole woman and is member-friendly. GoFigure, located in downtown Santa Cruz. Call 426-3948. Again, the number is 426-3948.
Well, I guess we're back. I guess we dropped off, did we, for a little bit there, Aaron?
Just for a sec. I wasn't sure. Oh, okay. The thing just shut off.
So how much should I? How much of that email did you get? Did you get the part about it's just the filmmaker's point
just,
of view? And
yeah, that was about up until there, and then you were gone.
Okay. It would be like having seen the movie with Kevin Costner a while back about the JFK assassination and walking out convinced of a large, complicated conspiracy. Quite a stretch. You have to balance your sources of information to make correct decisions. See the movie if you want, but check out what's presented. Don't just accept it because it suits your viewpoint. I'm sure I'll love the film. It suits my point of view. I saw Bowling for Columbine and enjoyed that too, but I must admit, I felt a little sorry for Charlton Heston with the way Moore treated him. He's a bleep hole, but a gifted filmmaker. Chuck in Watsonville. Okay. we do have other emails here. I don't know, we probably have other callers too, but let me read these other emails here as soon as they come up. By the way, you're listening to the KSCO AM 1080 Saturday Special. It's 11:30, and if you want to participate, you can and should give us a call at 479-1080 or 477-1340. We were originally going to have a guest on talking about a summer camp for atheists. But that didn't pan out. I don't know why. Don't know what happened to the gentleman who was supposed to call in. Maybe he spaced out, or maybe something terrible happened. Who knows? But
maybe he's worshiping Satan.
you can call us nonetheless and participate in this impromptu open mic Saturday special, calling us at 479-1080 or 477-1340. Email me at mz@ksco.com. If it's during the program, I'll hopefully be able to read it on the air. If it's not, anytime. I always look forward to getting emails from our audience with comments about the station or us or our hosts or whatever. Let's see. I believe we have a here's our next email coming up here. I've got one of these really slow connections, so it takes a while. MZ, please stop subjecting us to Ben the Village Idiot. Now, wait a second. Now, I was just telling Ben to be himself but try not to call names. And this person, Judy Crawford, is immediately being just like Ben, the person whom she apparently detests. He calls everyone stupid, then justifies his crummy language by saying, I just want the truth to be clarified, maybe? Such a rocket scientist, our dear Ben. If you can't keep him off the air, at least don't let him babble for so long. He is an insult to our collective intelligence. And that's from Judy Crawford. Okay, point taken. Thank you very much, Judy. Okay, let's see. I'm just sort of stammering here while the next email comes up. Now here's something. Some facts about the Bin Laden family leaving the U.S. So that should come up here in just a second here. I think it should come up here. I have to click it here. yeah, some facts about... I just can't believe that Bin Laden was... I mean, they were actually kind to the Bin Laden... MZ, one, the Bin Laden family was let out of the country. The order was signed by Richard Clark. Sounds familiar? Who said he still did not think there was anything wrong with it. Two, Osama bin Laden was disowned by his family a long time ago. And three, one of the founding investors to the Carlyle Group was George Soros. Okay, thank you very much, Cyril, our own Cyril, who provided that information to us. And knowing Cyril as I do, it must be accurate information, because Cyril does not make up things, does he? Okay, 479-1080 or 477-1340, the phone numbers to call in to the Saturday special. We have another email or two here, but let's go back to the phone lines here. I believe Dave Allen has been waiting for some time. Do we want to bring Dave on? He's on line 8, yeah. If he's still there. Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
Judy. Why is everybody on Ben's back? The man has rights to his opinion. At least he formulates his dissertation and does a respectful job. He has a right to say what he wants to say, correct?
Yes, he does have a right.
Yeah.
Not necessarily on KSCO.
No.
See, that's what people have to understand.
No, he says
that talking on a KSCO talk show is a privilege, not a right.
That's
just
right.
As is listening to KSCO
right.
Is a privilege, not a right.
You're talking
and we've only done this once or twice before in the 13 and a half years where we were forced to revoke someone's listening privilege.
Forbidden to listen.
Yeah.
Getting back to Bin Laden, I've been saying for years that the guy's all tied in. It's all a ploy. Folks, you've all been had. If people think that things that happen in this world happen at random, happen by accident, think again. Everything that is of major importance is allowed to happen, is dictated to happen. They let things happen. They order things to be happened. The world's been in somebody else's control for a long, long time, so step out of it.
As Andy Anderson has always said, I can assure you someone is controlling your mind.
You bet. Now,
right.
This guest of yours didn't show up for the, what is it called, Summer School for Atheists?
Yeah.
Isn't that called, like, hell?
Really hot place to be also. It's sort of a shame, because it would have been nice to talk about, but, you know, this is fine. This is fine. We're having a good time today. How are you feeling? When are you coming back on the air, Dave? I remember when you were back on the air. You used to say things that you knew about the Bush family that just seemed so.
Well, I will see. I think your guess is somewhere roasting marshmallows. The Bush family has been tied in forever and ever. Bush's father, should I say, current President Bush's grandfather, Prescott Bush, him and Henry Ford. And the Carnegie Foundation raised money for Hitler. Get a grip. You know, it's all the Bush's all oil, Halliburton's all oil. Well, Al Gore's also oil, Occidental Petroleum. Al Gore's family's all tied in for many, many years with Armin Hammer. Hello?
And Kerry's family is tied into oil. It might be vegetable oil, but it's oil.
Well, yeah, Hines, whatever. I think it's really funny that... John Hines was a senator. One of the last things he did was confront the Reagan-Bush administration when they wanted to cut back school lunches. And Reagan-Bush administration said that pickle relish and ketchup was like vegetables and fruit. And Senator Hines said, no, those are condiments. I think I know what condiments are. A week later, his plane crashed. His Learjet conveniently... Oh, back somewhere, but whatever. Point is, ladies and gentlemen, going back to Waco 12 years ago, Michael, back then, I remember when I first started cancer, you put me on the radio special that night because of Waco, isn't it? All the things I talked about came out about 5 years ago in a movie called Waco Rules of Engagement. Remember that movie?
Yeah, no, but how did you know it ahead of time, Dave?
Sources, good feelings. Same thing when they had the Oklahoma City bombing. I had a guest that wanted to come on, Ted Gunderson, former FBI director of Southern California, whose expertise was in demolitions and explosives. He was scheduled to come on a special show. He was ordered by his higher-ups not to talk. His lawyer said, dummy up, or face prison. Since then, though, he's come out with a lot of information. Oklahoma City, Waco, all that was orchestrated, all conveniently on time. I hate to say this, folks, but 9/11 was allowed to happen. Now, I don't like Michael Moore. I think the guy's a slob. I call him Michael Moore on. But gonna read between the lines. There's a lot of facts in this stupid-ass movie. Also, guys like Alex Jones, which you had on, these people don't dream this stuff up with a big bowl of opium. They go out there, they hang their butt out there. They research things. They have sources, insiders, you name it. They put two and two together, makes four. So, now that disclaimer, was that done by Barbara, right?
Yeah, also known as
formerly known as full-figured Barbara.
Right, fat Barbara.
You see the old card. Well, I don't think she was fat. I think she was like...
No, she was and is very skinny.
Well, more like voluptuous. Just think about, calorically challenged.
Yeah.
So how's the weather?
Weather's very nice up here. How about there?
Beautiful. The fog's coming in.
Oh, no, don't say that.
Well, fog is strawberries grow.
Fog is terrible.
What Ben says is he's on the left wing, but there's a lot of stuff there. And I hear Ben all over the dial, all kinds of stations, which is fine.
That is fine. People
don't like
a lot to say. If he can't say it on KSCO, he could say it on KBLA.
He does. All over the middle. Yeah, I know. Anyways, Michael, good program. Okay. Too bad you gets flaked out. But
no, that's okay, Dave.
Why not?
Somehow we're making it happen with that wonderful Aaron at the controls.
That's right. Wonderful Aaron.
Okay. Thanks, Dave. Good to hear from you. You hang in there. And by the way, are you voting for Bush or are you voting for Kerry?
I'm a libertarian.
Neither.
But when it gets down to the bone, I think Bush is the better moron. Everybody goes, well, Bush should treat the real a-holes. I go, yeah, but they're our a-holes, right?
Uh-huh.
What do you want? There's somebody like some little milk toast like Kerry. Remember Chamberlain, World War II Chamberlain? I'm going to make peace with Hitler. I come back with great news. Hitler and I and the British Kingdom are going to stay out of the war. A week later, started bombing the hell out of England. Some of these people don't get it. Now, the whole thing is very orchestrated. The last guy they beheaded last week. Now, if I'm wrong about this, check out the pictures. Yeah, check out the pictures of the so-called Arab Muslim extremists that beheaded him. Those guys kind of pumped up. Now, I'm going to say this. They look more like Navy SEAL Delta Force people. One guy had a tattoo. Arabs, as well as Israeli Jews, don't do tattoos. People, wake up. Something very convenient about guys getting beheaded by guys with black masks on. Black masks that look very similar to special ops uniforms. I'm sure guys like Westside Al out there, God bless him, probably roll his eyes up, probably yelling at the Michael, get this jerk off the radio. Anyways, you got to think about this. Why is these guys conveniently getting beheaded right on schedule for some reason? Just something else to think about.
The threat was made, and it was carried out.
Yeah, but who carried it out? Now, there's a lot of websites out there you can go check on. One of them is called RumorMillNews.com.
Oh, that's the best one of all, RumorMillNews.com.
Not be conspiracy theorist, but...
By Ray Ellen Allen.
That's right. Things don't happen by accident, okay? Things are well-organized, even though these appear to be chaos.
Yeah.
All right, Michael. I'll talk to you
later. Thank you, Dave. Bye. Okay, let's go to Phil in San Jose, if Phil is still there, on line 3, Aaron, okay? If he's not there, then we can
go
to Jim in Santa Cruz or Mark in Watsonville. Or...
Hello, I'm here.
Oh, is that you, Phil?
Yeah. How you doing?
Thank you for waiting.
I'm
doing okay. How are you doing?
Oh, good. A couple corrections, and then
Somebody called about the government was filing a suit about the campaign. That wasn't the government. That's a was a conservative group, and it may very well violate the McCain-Feingold thing. And but the FEC is pretty. It doesn't do much, so probably nothing will happen. But technically, it could violate McCain-Feingold.
And if it did, could it possibly be ordered out of distribution until after the election?
Yes, they had it on the news. It's very possible.
That would be really scary if that happened. What do you think?
Well, I don't have any problem with him making the film, which I'll go into in a second. But, I mean, if he technically violated it, then... And I don't agree with that law. I think the Sierra Club and the NRA and anybody should be able to advertise at any time against a candidate. But so I think that was a bad part of McCain-Feingold. Just a quick thing on Ben. I don't think anything he said was true. You could see the mass confusion if you listen to the 9/11 tapes that the commission put out by the air controllers. And the FBI did vet most of those people, and the planes did take off after the airspace was back open. But anyway, on Michael Moore, Bowling for Columbine, these films, I just want people to realize they're being manipulated. He uses misleading stats, statistics, lies by omission, lack of context, selective deceptive editing.
Okay. I believe you're right, but can you give us some specific examples? If you haven't seen the 9/11, maybe you've seen the.
I've seen discussions on. He made up the. I think it's in this current film, an interview with Fred Barnes of the Weekly Standard. It never happened. The NewYorkPost.com lists all these errors. He was interviewing some congressmen about getting their kids in the military. What he left out with one of those was. That the gentleman said, well, it was his nephew or somebody in his family was already in the military. But see, he didn't put that in the film. He cut that out. So it's that kind of selective editing that is deceptive, and that's how you're being manipulated. And as long as you understand that, you know, go see the film. But just realize, just like the person that mentioned the bank thing in Bowling for Columbine, mm-hmm. You know, he.
I don't think there was anybody in that audience yesterday at the theater in Reno other than myself, who is a Bush supporter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, that could be true. Yeah.
And I'm not a dyed-in-the-wool Bush supporter, by the way. He's no angel. I mean, the guy. I'm sure the guy's got skeletons in his closet.
But I feel much better that he is
in charge here at post 9/11 than I would have with Al Gore or certainly with John Kerry.
But Michael Moore said
who's coughing on the radio.
Sorry, I had my mic on. I think Phil needs to turn down his radio.
Oh.
No, my radio's off. I'm sorry. I'm almost done. I just want to say he made the film specifically per his own statement to defeat Bush. So that's why he said he made the film.
I gotcha.
And the Slate.com by Chris Hitchens is, that's an excellent thing to go read.
Well, good.
Okay.
So, Phil, do you listen to us regularly in San Jose, or you just happen to be there today?
No, I try to listen to your show, and your best show is Cyril's. He is the most intelligent person on your station and the most informative, as far as I'm concerned.
Even more so than Michael Olson?
I'm not familiar with Michael Olson, I'm sorry.
Oh, I don't listen to Michael Olson at the Food Chain program at 9 a.m.
Oh, is that? Oh,
on Saturdays, on Saturday Food Chain.
Oh,
now,
okay.
Please, this is now. I know that I'm going to get a bunch of emails from people attacking me because they'll say that I dissed Cyril. I am not dissing Cyril. Cyril is very, very intelligent. I'm just saying that there are some people who are more intelligent, like Michael Olson, for example.
Is that a political show?
No.
It's
just an informational show.
Okay. Okay, good luck.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
There goes Phil in San Jose. Here comes Jim in Santa Cruz, line one, if he's still there, on the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO. Hey, good, Jim. How are you?
Good. Listen, if you missed the Christopher Hitchens article, I still may have it on. I don't know if I deleted it, but I could forward that to you. He makes some very good rebuttal to Mr. Moore. As far
have
as the film goes, I think the only thing you need, or at least I needed to know, was the Sentinel's remark yesterday that the owners or the managers of the Del Mar and Nickelodeon feel that the film will run at least until Election Day. Surprise, surprise. And
The thing is, though, that I really called about is my new found respect for the, our vice president, Mr. Cheney. There's these, I was scanning around different things last night, and all the righteous indignation of that he did this on the floor of the Senate and yada, yada, yada. And, of course, all it was a photo op. The Senate was not in session. But how many of them would love to do the same thing to the Mr. Leahy, and he had the guts to do it. You know, I don't know that the Democrats are going to want to go down that road. The things you don't see that the national news won't publicize is Mr. Kerry's on Memorial Day. Mr. Kerry ate for a photo op at the Vietnam Vets Wall. When he took the opportunity to give the finger to another Vietnam vet at the wall. Now, many people consider the Vietnam Wall more, far more hollow ground than the floor of the United States Senate. But Mr. Kerry took the opportunity to give the finger to another Vietnam vet who happened to be the co-founder of Veterans Against Kerry. And so, you know, it's just, and there are other untold. The person I feel sorry
for. Certain obscene gestures have their place in life.
Yeah. Well, it's just that Mr. The Vice President verbalized his, and Mr. Kerry used the hand signal to do it. Same result. But anyway, I thought I'm going to look for that Christopher Hitchens article for you online and see if I still have it. And I'll...
Thank you, Jim. Thanks for calling the Saturday special. It's 12 minutes before 12 noon. 12 minutes remaining of this edition. It's an open mic because of the guest no-show today. Give us a call at 479-1080 or 477-1340. Send me an email, mz@ksco. Now, if it's during the next 10 minutes, I'll probably get to read it. Afterwards, anytime is good. Always like to hear from our listeners. mz@ksco.com. Speaking of an email, here's one from Gene Ward. Dear Michael, I always try to listen to the Saturday specials. They're almost always interesting and informative. Your open-mindedness is greatly appreciated. I enjoy your mom's commentaries also. I generally judge issues rather than personalities or labels. I believe I would usually be left of your programming on most issues, but welcome exposure to all points of view. Hear, hear. Unfortunately, I'm reluctant to call, but want you to know that I am here and often listening. Best wishes, Gene. Great. Well, you write wonderfully, Gene, and if you speak one-tenth as well as you write, we would love to have you as a caller here at AM 1080 KSCO, where it's 11 before 11. Well, getting close to 10 before 12, rather. And, Aaron, I think we've got a stop set coming up with some commercial announcements. Am I correct?
We certainly do.
Oh, good. So let's play those now, and then we'll come back with some more emails and some more callers to the Saturday special. My gosh. Yeah, we got Dave and Seaside and SoCal Bob, and oh, my God. Okay.
And
more,
we have
more
a fax
ahead. Stay with us.
Also.
There is a fax?
Yeah, there is. I haven't gotten
it
yet, though.
Okay. Thank you. We will, we'll be back in a few minutes. Stay with us.
Stay big where the overhead's small. Watsonville Cadillac, Buick, Pontiac, GMC.
Now at Watsonville Cadillac Buick Pontiac GMC, pay just $51,195 for a new 2004 Cadillac CTS-V.
Save big where the overhead's small. Watsonville Cadillac Buick Pontiac GMC.
Cadillac Breakthrough. Cadillac CTS-V, 190516. All prices plus government fees and taxes, any finance charges, any dealer document preparation charge, and any emission testing charge. All vehicles subject to prior sale. One available at this price. Watsonville Cadillac Buick Pontiac GMC. Auto Center Drive, Watsonville. Offer expires June 30, 04.
Save big where the overhead's small. Watsonville Cadillac Buick Pontiac GMC. Save big where the overhead's small.
You can walk into a room filled with people and feel confident with an attractive, radiant smile. Hi, I'm Dr. Guy Peabody, a general dentist and pioneer in sedation dentistry. People judge us by the way we look and carry ourselves, and what better way to make a great impression than with a warm, confident smile? If you no longer smile because of embarrassment or think it'll take countless dental visits to fix your teeth or are simply afraid of dental treatment, I've got great news for you. With sedation dentistry utilizing a common sleeping pill, I've helped hundreds of patients solve years of advanced dental problems in one visit. Why not you? With sedation dentistry, you'll feel like you slept through your visit, remembering little or nothing about it. You've waited long enough. It's time for you to be confident about your smile.
Call Dr. Guy Peabody at 457-0343. That's 831-457-0343. Find Dr. Peabody's sedation dentistry on the web at www.drpeabody.com or in the Yellow Pages. You, too, can wake up to a beautiful smile.
Hi, this is Don Fredrickson from GotNet. GotNet specializes in business services. Whether you need a T1 or T3 or just a place to host your website, GotNet has a solution to fit your needs. GotNet offers server co-location and custom website development. We have e-commerce servers, streaming audio and video servers, and Cold Fusion and database servers available to handle your hosting needs. GotNet understands that businesses rely on the Internet, and we work hard to assure fast, reliable service. Call GotNet today at 460-2000. Food, shelter, clothing, net. GotNet.
And now back to the Saturday special.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Aaron. I'm quite upset. During the break, I discovered that my pineapple was decimated. You know how it is when you have your little heart set on something, like I'm going to be off the air in like 7 or 8 minutes, and I wanted to eat this delicious pineapple that I got from Costco, where I like to go get lemons also, and I like to get cans of clams, of chopped clams. I was going to have this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful lunch. And what do you think happened? I'm such a dope. Last night I left my car door open. I mean, not unlocked, but like open for like an hour or two. And I did discover that I had left it open, so I went and closed it. And I was looking for the pineapple that I thought was there. And I said, nah, I must have fallen behind the seat or something. Well, I just discovered where the pineapple is. The pineapple is about 40 feet away from the car, and it has been completely eaten. The clams in the tall cans were not eaten, but they were attacked. What does that mean? Does that mean there was a bear here that went after this stuff? This is terrible. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just so upset I'm not even sure I can finish the program, but we're going to try. Okay, so who's up next? Is it Dave in Seaside on line 3? Is he still there?
No, he dropped off.
Okay, how about SoCal Bob on line 5? Is he still there?
SoCal Bob.
Hello, Michael. I wanted to give my impressions of Michael Moore.
Have you seen the flick, Bob?
No, I don't intend to. Not on the screen. Maybe on video. I don't go to the movies anymore, so it might be on DVD. Anyway, I did see a couple of his previous attempts. One of them was one called Roger and Me, which I thought was pretty good. The other one I thought was where he did a thing on Charlton Heston, which I thought was very bad because he took advantage of him. So I have mixed feelings about Michael
Moore. He's a guy who hits below the belt for sure, but he does make entertaining movies. If you're entertained by hitting below the belt, which I guess I should. Wow.
I don't know if there are any propaganda film that's hitting below the belt as long as he's not breaking the law. More power to him. As far as Michael Moore himself is concerned, I'm no big fan of his. I'm kind of in the middle, but if he's against George Bush, he can't be all bad. I take the position that there are no friends or enemies in politics. There are just temporary alliances, being an old political activist. And the other thing I wanted to mention, if I have time, is Christopher Hitchens. I saw a debate on Crossfire yesterday between Christopher Hitchens and Charles Rangel. Charles Rangel twisted him into a pretzel. Christopher Hitchens always goes after Democrats and liberals, or very often does. Did I hear Dave Allen compare John Kerry with Winston, with Neville Chamberlain?
Well, he mentioned Neville Chamberlain in his talk. I'm not sure it was a direct comparison.
He's comparing a man who won the Silver Star and 3 Bronze Stars and a Purple Heart with Neville Chamberlain. This is extremely inappropriate. And I just wanted to get my 2 bits off on that. And to me, I don't know, I could go on and on about George Bush, but I know you don't have the time. Sometime you and I will have to get together and let me...
Well, I'm happy that I wondered what happened to you. You called last week, I guess, but we went through a very dry spell with Sans Bob, SoCal Bob. I don't know whether you were just busy or didn't care for the radio programming anymore on KSCO or what. But
I've been kind of busy lately doing different things, and I haven't been in the house very often when the Saturday special fell. I have been in the house, but I haven't been motivated to call. I'll talk to you about that sometime when we got more time.
Okay, Bob.
Don't let your
stay well, and thanks for calling.
Don't let your meat.
I believe. Don't let your meatloaf either. Okay, that's fine. Now here's Mark in Watsonville. I think if he's still there, he's been waiting a long time on line two. Mark,
yeah,
are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, thanks for waiting. Sorry it took so long,
Here
you are.
You know, I find it kind of disturbing today. I'm thinking of Ben from Salinas and Dave Allen calling in and impugning the integrity of our boys fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan. Ben went on with the old baby killer deal that we've heard since Vietnam and the bombing the civilians and all that. And you know, our guys go tremendously out of the way to prevent that. And I think this comment from a guy who never put on the uniform and served is just despicable. And then he brought up the moral equivalency of our soldiers and collateral damage and the terrorists cutting off people's heads. Well, Dave Allen went beyond the moral equivalency. He said it's American servicemen who are cutting off the people's heads. And
He didn't say that. What are you talking about? I missed that.
He said they're American SEALs. Look at the SEALs.
Yeah, he was suggesting that, yeah, okay.
It's American servicemen cutting off these guys' heads. Well, you know, I'm sorry. I've had relatives serving over there. They're doing a heck of a job. It's a tough deal. And what are Ben and Dave going to do? Go to the airport and spit on these guys when they come back? I mean, we've been through this before. Support the guys over there. And don't make up stories. And, no, they're not baby killers, and they are not cutting off people's heads.
Okay, Mark. Thanks for your call to the Saturday special. Sure. Aaron, do we have the That's All folks ready and queued? Because I know sometimes that's hard to find.
It's ready to go.
Oh, good. Okay, so let's take Nick in Royal Oaks because I think we got a minute left or so. Nick, on line four, if he's still there. Hey, Nick, you're on the air on KSCO on the Saturday special.
I hear you give him an A. I haven't seen the movie yet. But
I give it an A for it being a movie that doesn't put you to sleep, and it's an entertaining movie. If you have any kind of a sense of humor,
I'll have to see it with a lot of people. What he does for me is he's already prepped me to refine the movie, and I bring to instance the scene where President is with the children, and A comes in and mentions that the building's been hit. At that scene, you know, I'd be more modern. And take that and as the idea and refine it to the point. Do you know where these news television sets have these little side screens where you see other programs?
Yeah.
Okay, I probably have a few of those running at the same time. I have the president there, but then I'd have the towers there, and at the same time the president's sitting there, it being hit, and then the A comes in. But
listen, we got to move on. I'm sorry.
The baby's in the sandbox throwing sand in the face.
Okay.
You know what that is?
No, but thank you. We got to move on. Yeah. I think it's time to press the button. Am I right? We only have a few seconds left. Am I synchronized properly, Aaron?
We're plumb out of time.
Oh, my God. Okay, so that's all, folks. See you next week, Jordan.
That's all, folks.
KSCO Santa Cruz, KOMY, Watson.